Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Game Day Friday. Steve Sipple live from Minneapolis. Jake Sorensen and Bill Bush from the Ticket Studio here in downtown Lincoln. Hour 3 is sponsored by our friends at NEBCO.
NEBCO!
Now hiring at Concrete Industries for precast production laborers. Check him out at concreteindustries.com or at NEBCOinc.com. Sip is in Minneapolis. We also have our next guest is in Minneapolis for Nebraska tonight. That is Ryan Burns of 24/7 Sports. Ryan, good morning. I was reading your write-up yesterday ahead of Nebraska-Minnesota, and I really liked one description you had. You called the offensive line the Minnesota Moving Company. Is that a new thing? Is that long-term? When is that? How long has that been around for, Ryan?
I actually took that from the Minnesota Vikings and Paul Allen, who's their play-by-play guy. I know incredibly well, and so I love that description when he uses it, and I figured, I asked him, you know, can I have the creative rights to that here at the collegiate level? And he had no issues with it. So I'm going to need that Minnesota Moving Company to show up on time, show up and handle things tonight, or else that Nebraska front seven is going to have a lot of fun in Minneapolis.
How well do you know Paul Allen?
I just was on his radio show yesterday in studio with him.
Wow.
Whoa. Really? How big a deal is he in this town? By the way, I'm in Edina.
Tell him where you're at. Tell him what hotel you're at.
What hotel you in, Sip?
Well, I'm at the Westin.
And they had a DJ last night. Are you aware of that, Ryan?
Well, this is what happens when you stay in Edina, of all places. I'll be the first one to tell you, I grew up on the East Metro. Edina, for those of you who don't know, who's on the West Metro. It's one of the most affluent cities there in the Twin Cities, and we have a little acronym for those people who do go to Edina.
What's that?
It's every day I need attention.
This fits. It's okay. So good. This is Sean Callahan and Steve Sipple at the highest
that
right
makes
here.
A lot of sense here.
Say that one more time. Repeat that, please, Ryan.
Say it one more time.
Yes.
So it's an acronym we have for Edina. It is every day I need attention.
All right.
And they got we call them cake eaters. So are at a very, very nice hotel over there, young man.
And I got my Roebuck shirt on.
Yeah, you're living the dream right now. Good.
Go ahead, fire away, Steve.
Okay, so how would you regard Minnesota's season right now? Are fans excited about what's going on? What's the temperature is what I'm asking.
It's been a very strange season, and I say that as somebody who I'd like to think I got my hand on the pulse as good as anyone, but I feel like we have a lot to learn about this Minnesota team yet, where they're 4-2, they're 4-0 at home, 0-2 on the road. One of those losses is to what I think is the best team in the country, bar none, in Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And another one of those is to a Cal team where I'll be the first to tell you, I'm tired of night games. Because this will be the fifth night game in the first seven games for the University of Minnesota.
Wow.
I understand that I cover the University of Minnesota. Okay. I'm used to 11 a.m. games.
Yes, you are. Yes. Against, you are. Against Purdue at 11 a.m.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Yeah. And then last week, I get another night game against Purdue in 2 weeks. Or 3 weeks, I got another one against Oregon on Friday night. It is something to behold, but that Cal game starts at 9:30, 10 o'clock local time.
Yikes.
After midnight, Minnesota just doesn't show up in the fourth quarter.
Right.
So many of these games, I feel like I still don't know what to do. When I look at the Big Ten schedule so far for them. They get down to a 14-0 lead to Rutgers at home. They come back and win. They get down to a 10-0 lead against Purdue, come back and win. I'll just tell you, if they do that for a third straight home game against Nebraska, Nebraska is the most talented team they've played at Huntington Bank Stadium so far this year, and they cannot afford to do that. So they've been slow starting. Last week, they were not very good up front, offensive or defensive lines. So I feel like I have a lot to learn about this team, and this game tonight in Minneapolis is going to be one we get to see a lot more and learn, is this Minnesota team much good?
Ryan,
Go ahead, Bill. You go ahead, Bill.
Ryan, Bill Bush here. We are fans on this show of – initially there was some pushback sometimes on P.J. Fleck because there's just some – if you talk to most people, are like, oh, he rubs us the wrong way. And on the show – as you keep watching him, his team is buttoned up. You just don't see stupid errors. You don't see things unorganized. He has a plan. They very much have an identity. They play within themselves. Just tell us how you think P.J. Fleck has grown, because he's been there for obviously an ample amount of time now. What's your thoughts on his growth, and what's the take on him locally, the thoughts on P.J. Fleck?
Well, it's crazy for me to say this now, but with James Franklin out, you know who the second longest tenured coach of the Big Ten is right now?
I'm going to guess P.J. Fleck.
Wow.
That'd be Philip John Fleck up here in Minneapolis, of all places. And I think he'd be the first to tell you he didn't expect that. I think there's been some opportunities over the years for him to leave, but he's still here. And for those people who he rubs the wrong way, I get it. I like to describe P.J. Fleck as five Red Bulls all the time. And that's a lot of energy for anyone. You're going to know within 5 seconds, or so, you know, let's be a little bit more generous. You're going to know within 30 seconds of meeting the man whether you want to run through a brick wall for him or whether you want to run away from him. And that's the beauty of his recruiting is, you know, they don't have all the money and the resources to throw at kids. But because of his personality, you don't get kids on the fence about, do I want to play for this guy or do I not want to play for this guy? Either you do and you love it, or you hate it and you want to run away. So that's the beauty, I think, of what he's learned about his recruiting through 9 years. And I think in terms of where he's at in this market, it's got to be among the most interesting markets in the Big Ten, just because there's four pro sports teams in town that you're always competing with. You've got the Minnesota Vikings, the Twins, the Wild, and the Timberwolves now. And you're always fighting for the front page. You're always fighting. There's a for media coverage, but there always is something to do here in the Twin Cities. So I think what people have found out about PJ is that he's raised, I should say, the floor of the program past what I think Glenn Mason and Jerry Kill have done. He's been above 500 in the Big Ten, I think, three of the last four full seasons here. I mean, I think a lot of people are starting to take for granted 7-8 win seasons. I don't know how to tell them. Like, there's a fan base down in Lincoln that would kill for a floor of 7-8 win seasons over the last 10 years. So I think people don't exactly have the greatest perspective at times about what this Gopher football program has been for the last 30, 40 years. But I think many are clamoring to see a season like 2019 where they won 11 games, 10 regular season games. And I don't blame them. But I think just if we're taking for granted the floor that he has raised within this program, I think you're also underselling it.
Now, at the same time, again, not trying to scare PJ out of there, but he has had success at Minnesota in his years there. You know him well. Is he there for the long haul, or do you think he starts listening to some jobs that open up here as soon as this offseason, Ryan?
Well, I think that flirtation he had with UCLA two offseasons ago was incredibly, incredibly real. I think now with that job open again, I feel a lot differently about his interest in that. I think he got to see behind the curtain in terms of how dire it is financial situation wise, how no one really shows up to Rose Bowl games anymore. How I don't pretend to be the UCLA beat reporter guy, but I don't even know that Martin Jarman, who's their athletic director, is he still on the hot seat? Yeah. I think there's a lot of different things now. With the way this coaching carousel is shaping up, and I don't have to talk coaching carousel with you three, certainly with the week that's been and the jobs that are open, I mean, we're still talking about jobs like Wisconsin, North Carolina, Auburn, Florida, Florida State that have yet to open. I mean, if this thing continues to spin as quickly as it is, we're talking about a once in every 10 years type of coaching carousel. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Fleck's name come up, and his buyout's only $5.5 million if somebody wants to come get him. So I understand that not for everyone, Minnesota's a destination job. We've seen Fleck flirt with other places before, but I'll be as curious as anyone to see what happens here in the month of December.
Let's drill down on this game for a second. Ryan, what is going on with Minnesota's running game? They rank 114th nationally.
Yeah, they're the worst rushing team in the Big Ten. You look at what they've done against Big Ten opponents, they're averaging 44 rushing yards a game.
That's crazy.
Look, RTB up here in Dickeytown doesn't just stand for row the boat, it stands for run the ball. Mm-hmm. And they haven't been able to run the football at any point this year. Now, some of that's because their best tailback, Darius Taylor, missed a month of action with a soft tissue injury, but he returned last week against Purdue. And I think a great way to sum it up for the listeners is Darius Taylor had 38 yards after contact on 32 rushing yards. I mean, everything he had to get was earned, and he's getting hit in the backfield constantly. It's a Minnesota moving company that's got four different starters from last year because they graduated four guys. They just have – I mean, it comes down to it, and I've asked Fleck about it. I've asked the offensive coordinator, Greg Harbaugh Jr., about it. Where's the physicality up front? I mean, we have seen it for so long, and I think a lot of people took it for granted, and they have just not been executing their assignments. Now, they have rotated the same five O-linemen into three different offensive line combinations over the last three games. So I wonder if we see a fourth different offensive line combo tonight. They're clearly trying to figure something out up front. They think they have the best five guys, but where they are playing is something that they haven't quite figured out what maximizes their talents the best. I'll just tell you this. If they cannot run it tonight, it's going to be a long night because Drake Lindsey against that pass rush of 96 and 15 for Nebraska, I want nothing to do with 96. I want absolutely nothing to do with 96. Now, their best two players are Nathan Roy on the offensive line, their left tackle, and then Greg Johnson, who played right tackle last week. So they are athletic at tackle. Where you can attack Minnesota is on their interior, specifically with number 74. No Big Ten guard has allowed more pressures, hurries, and quarterback hits than Marcellus Marshall. So I'm sure that the Nebraska staff knows that, and they're going to attack that. But physicality, at the end of the day, this is what it comes down to. They have struggled to run the ball specifically, even somehow worse than their overall stats in short yardage, because the amount of knockback they're getting up front, they're getting pushed back 2 yards consistently instead of gaining 2 yards. That's got to start to change here very soon.
Ryan, question. What do you think the atmosphere will be like tonight? We did a little research. I think if I'm accurate, it's 54,000 students at the University of Minnesota. But it's I've coached there numerous different times. It just never felt like it was a crazy student section or fan base. What will it be like tonight? What can the fans expect to see on TV?
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart. Check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states, thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, the students have been great all year. I mean, the students have filled it in the entire year. I'm not worried about the students. I think you'll see that student section filled. I'm curious to see how many Nebraska fans there is, because I remember 2 years ago in that opener, there was a lot of excitement around Nebraska. Minnesota ends up winning 13-10. I don't know if there's going to be 7,500 Nebraska fans. I don't know if there's going to be 10,000. I don't know how many people will be making the trip. I do expect to see the stadium at capacity. I think it'll be a rowdy atmosphere. I think that's one of the things I've learned since Nebraska's moved to the Big Ten is it's almost turned into a de facto rivalry between the two fan bases to an extent. I see the vitriol online. I see the back and forth online. I think there's a lot of people in Nebraska aware that Fleck is 6-1 against Nebraska. He's won 5 in a row, including 3 straight one-possession games. I think people see the amount of success that Fleck has had here compared to what Nebraska's gone through over the last 5, 7, 9 years. Yeah. I think it's a very interesting game. I think it'll be an outstanding game. I think there's one thing I will say about Nebraska fans is they're obviously very passionate, but they're very – There's not a lot of, I'll say, negativity within. They're not going to come up to Minneapolis and just trash the place and leave like Iowa fans will do. I'll be the first to tell you.
No shock
I've
there.
Heard so many bad things about the way Iowa fans treat people up here in Minneapolis compared to Nebraska. I think there's almost a mutual respect between the two fan bases, but I think you'll see some fun on Fox tonight.
How does Minnesota go about winning this game? What do they got to do?
They got to win the take give. I mean, you look at last week, they're outgained by 200-something yards. They're outrushed by 200-something yards. Okay. But why do they win that football game? Because they were +3 in the take give.
Oh, hello.
And that's where they have struggled to – they have been incredibly Jekyll and Hyde. I'll be the first to tell you, is coming into that game, they had 2 defensive takeaways in their last 7 FBS games. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had not been forcing anything, yet they were able to get – multiple huge interceptions in that game from Kerry Brown to Coy Parrish sealing it. John Nestor, the Iowa transfer, did some really good things. So they've got to turn over Dylan Raiola. If you do not turn over Dylan Raiola multiple times, you're not going to have a shot. Plus, if you don't tackle well, I think my favorite stat from looking into Nebraska this week is Nebraska's pass catchers have more yards after the catch than Iowa's receivers do just in general all season. Nebraska's got over 1,000 yards after the catch. So what does that tell me? Minnesota better tackle well in space, or else Dane Key, I mean, Ja'Cory Barney, Naziah Hunter, even Emma Johnson, the kid from Richfield here, who I'll be the first to tell you, Minnesota whiffed on. I think everybody whiffed on. I mean, that late offer from Nebraska back when in December looks tremendous now for a kid who is second in the Big Ten in rushing, second in missed tackles forced among all Big Ten running backs. I mean, he's been tremendous. But for Minnesota to win, you got to win the take-give, and they got to find a running game. I mean, the thing that you should be able to watch tonight is Minnesota's defense last week against Purdue. They were on the field for 88 snaps.
Hello.
You got a short week. So I don't know what their legs are going to look like in the second half, but if they don't come out strong and they don't tackle well, it might be a very good night for Raiola in this passing offense. And then you get to lean on Emmett Johnson in the second half. But the defense needs to help the Gopher offense tonight. And I don't know that I got a lot of faith that that's going to happen.
Joined by Ryan Burns, Minnesota 24/7 Sports, at Ryan Burns MN on Twitter. I'm curious, in terms of Drake Lindsey, the quarterback, you know, scouting report, what kind of quarterback is he? From our vantage point, he doesn't run the ball very much. Is that the case for you, Ryan?
He won a foot race for the first time in his athletic life, I would imagine, last week against Purdue.
Wow.
He is a 6'5", 245-pound individual who is not the most fleet of foot. He can win a foot race from time to time. He's going to need a little deception within that if he's going to do that. But Drake Lindsey, to me, is the player I thought Ethan Kaliak-Manis was going to turn into back in the day, where – Drake has all the physical tools to make any throw on the field. He just has a processor to go with it at a young age. Where that, I think that's the crux of the Ethan Kaliak-Manis story, whether at Minnesota or Rutgers, is he's got a great arm, but I don't know that he can get to a second read. And I don't know that he knows what he's looking at within a defense. Now, if you have Kirk Ciarrocca, their offensive coordinator, you can still cook out there at Rutgers with him. But Drake is a very gifted player. Now, he's only started 6 games. But to look at his stats through his first six starts of 3-1 touchdown interception ratio, completing 60% of his passes, he's been really good. The issue is his pass catchers have not done him much favors. Last week against Purdue, Purdue played a lot of man coverage, and Minnesota could not create separation. They couldn't win 50-50 balls. A great stat to show that would be there were 13 contested catch opportunities, according to Pro Football Focus, for Minnesota's pass catchers. They won one. 1 for 13 in contested catch opportunities against Purdue's secondary. I say this with the utmost peace and love to the players in West Lafayette. They're not going to be as talented as the players I see tonight for Nebraska. So if Minnesota can't win in man coverage for Drake Lindsey, it's going to be some tough sledding. But Drake has been the straw that stirs the drink for the Gopher football offense, and he has been through at least the first six starts of his career, surpassing my expectations.
Go ahead, Sip.
What an incredible breakdown. Thank you, Brian. You don't sound optimistic about Minnesota.
No. Yeah, what's your prediction for that? What's your score? You got a score tonight, Ryan.
Yeah. you know, I'm very curious to see, because here's the crux of this whole thing is I know what it looks like on tape. I know what I watched from Minnesota last week. But then I think about where this game has gone. Mm-hmm. And I said it, like, Fleck is 6-1. He's won 5 in a row. The stat that I didn't believe when I saw that the media jackals down there in Lincoln were asking Matt Rhule about it was, this can't be true that Nebraska has not won back-to-back road games since 2006.
That's correct.
Yeah, the jackals. True. Yeah, the jackals were right about that.
The jackals. I love that
description. Thank the jackals.
Can we remember when you said you talked to that you used the line about the offensive line? Can we use jackals on our show? and would you be okay with that?
Right.
Yeah. We use it up here in Minneapolis all the time. I grant the permission to have that translate down to my favorite state of Nebraska.
Thank you.
We're okay. Jackals.
Jackals will be used often. We'll describe ourselves as that, and I really enjoy it. Thank you.
But I just see so many of these games, and it's like Nebraska clearly has more talent this year to me. I think this is more of a rebuild year, considering Minnesota lost 6 players that made 53-man rosters in the NFL. And it's – I don't know what to think, because I've also seen these games where Nebraska is now back-to-back, short week, road games. The stat I looked into this week is Big Ten teams playing another Power Four team. All right, stay with me here. I know it's a long-winded explanation here. Big Ten teams so far this season playing other Power Four teams in a post 6 p.m. kickoff or later. The home team in those games is 8-3.
I mean, interesting.
There's a lot of things where on paper this game should be what Vegas says it is, if not more, where Nebraska wins by 10 or more points. But this is also why you play the football games. And I got this game, at least right now, Nebraska 30, Minnesota 21.
Okay.
I think this whole thing for me, and I'm going to find out in the first 20 minutes tonight in terms of my Minnesota perspective here, is the Gopher offensive and defensive lines better have some physicality. If they don't, Emmett Johnson's going to run for 200 yards tonight. If they don't, Drake Lindsey is going to be very, very familiar with number 96 by about midway through the second quarter. If he can just pin his ears back for 50 snaps tonight, may the Lord bless and keep Drake Lindsey trying to make sure he stays on his feet, because that young man is playing incredibly, incredibly well. So I think this is a Nebraska win. But again, I need to see Nebraska play Minnesota well. Fleck gets his players up for this game. Nebraska doesn't seem to play well in Minneapolis very, very well. It is going to be fascinating to see what this thing looks like at the end of it.
Ryan. If I run into PJ Fleck at the Westin where they're staying, should I say to him, "Hello, Philip John"?
I don't know. I don't know what the type of response is going to be that you get back.
You know what
him.
He'd say? He'd say, "Hey, you jackal!"
Yeah, he would.
You're one of those jackals.
What's going on, Philip John? That's great.
Is there a chance, Ryan, that you would, with your detail, has been ridiculous? Is there a way that you could also preview the rest of the Nebraska games and come on with us on Friday? Like, can you do Northwestern? Next week and give us a report?
You know, you're going to have to find your own beat reporter for the mistake down by the lake. That's my biggest regret of the season is the Gophers do travel to play Northwestern this year. I wanted to go see that practice facility thing that they go play at.
Yeah,
right
the
now.
Soccer field. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have to go watch a game at Wrigley Field.
Oh, that's horrible.
I know. And look, not all heroes wear capes, and I'll bear that honor, and I understand that.
Respect you for that.
I'm a little disappointed I don't get to see that because for the amount of times, and I'm sure you guys have been there too, Ryan Field, and I say that knowing that my first name is the same as that field, it was an abomination.
It was terrible.
I mean, that was among the worst stadiums in the entire Big Ten. So, I'm not a Cubs fan. There's no nostalgia for me going to Wrigley Field in late November, but good luck next week with trying to find a Northwestern beat writer.
We had a hard time when they fired their baseball coach. We couldn't get anyone to talk to us. There's no one.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, we couldn't. Program. One thing interesting, why you do miss going to by the lake is that my friend of mine was their special teams coordinator at Northwestern, and they would punt several balls in warmups into the lake. If they mishit a ball, it would fly over the fence into the lake. And I thought that would be – I just love to see a ball in all of a sudden floating in Lake Michigan before the game. That would be funny to me.
Yeah, for when Minnesota goes there, I think it's the second to last week of the season. I've already told people here around the Twin Cities, either it's going to be beautiful, 52 degrees, no wind, or it's going to be – they're trying to sink the Edmund Fitzgerald the second time on the Great Lakes. The gales of November with 35 mile an hour northwest winds. You guys know it better than I do, or just as well.
How would that crowd be, you think, with game 11, Wrigley Field, Minnesota, Northwestern?
For what could be a 6-5 Minnesota team going against a 5-6 Northwestern team?
Epic. Yes. Epic.
I don't know what to expect there. Your guess is probably better than mine.
Please, we will contact you.
Ryan, we're out of time. We appreciate your time joining us. Enjoy the game tonight. We hope that you and Sip can find each other in the press box this evening.
Hey, Ryan, I'm going to find you and thank you, okay? Dinner's on me.
I appreciate it. I'll see you up there.
He is all Ryan right. Burns, 24/7 Sports. Ryan, thanks for the time. We'll chat with you down the road.
That was awesome.
There you go, Ryan Burns. Good stuff there. FSPs is next on Early Break in the Ticket.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.